This is Alex Peace of EG with the three faces of CBRE Build to Rent team at the moment. It's Pete Burns on the capital market side, Arthur McAlmont on the income producing resi side, and Helen Gray on the designer consultancy side. All, thank you very much for joining me. We're a week after your 51st state conference, which is all about whether or not we should actually be taking advice from the US on how to develop Build to Rent in the UK. Who wants to go first then? Should we be taking advice or not?
Some advice.
Arthur, go ahead. You're already doing the income producing resi that's already in the UK at the moment, already trading. You know, you're as established as the market gets. What do people want? What's proven popular?
Sure. Well, it's certainly hard to ignore US and what they've experienced in their market. They are indeed around 25 years ahead of us. So they have a lot of experience and a lot of examples, tangible examples of this stock that exists over there. And are obviously from a liquidity perspective, which is where I really focus, they are significantly well ahead. They trade around $150 billion worth of assets per annum. We hope in 2017 that we will hit £2.5 billion. So while for us that's a 20% increase per last year, it is obviously significantly behind the States. So yeah, in our view, we'd be naive to ignore what they've experienced.
Mm-hmm. What about the difference between what's available in the UK and what's available in the States? So trading portfolios in the UK at the moment, for instance, don't have any of this service added on, don't have any of the amenity space. Do they need it? Is that what's going to emerge?
Yeah, I think it's sort of raising tenant awareness. I think the incumbent tenant in this country is not used to anything like that, so they would instinctively say not. They're used to buy-to-let landlords who aren't necessarily the most responsible in some examples, and of course don't offer the amenity given that they are just an apartment. So it's raising tenant awareness. Looking to the States, there are countless examples of additional amenity and blocks, everything from swimming pools to golf driving ranges to barbecue areas. So I think that while we will see a raise in tenant awareness, in fact, particularly from the examples that exist in this country already, the Get Living guys, the Moda guys moving in that direction too, we will certainly see some amenity in the UK examples. Probably not the focus on swimming pools and barbecue areas that we see in a lot of things.
Perhaps a bit of a compromise. I think the novelty aspect is a big thing, isn't it? So as an industry, we've been talking about build to rent for a long time, and the institutions, even from a valuation perspective, planning, etc., we've all got our heads around it, but we forget that we haven't taken it to the market yet. So the tenants haven't experienced this product. So we are in the early phases of that, of working out what will work, what won't, but we're in a pretty privileged position really to be able to take the best bits of what does work in America and what does work in Germany and other markets, because they've, as Arthur said, they're 20 years ahead, so they've had that learning journey, and if we can take almost the best bits, and then we can figure out our own model perhaps.
Got it. What are the best bits so far? I mean, if you're being consulting on various, there's a lot of players in the market at the moment, other than building outside, what do you say people want, what do you say people don't want?
One of the key things that probably came out of the discussions that we had with the architect that we invited over and the management firm as well is to build in flexibility. So the rate of change in our living preferences is quite rapid, and also in order to be competitive, to attract tenants, not just on day one, but then every day for the next 20 years, I think you have to future-proof your building. So we're talking about allocating enough amenity space, but perhaps not fitting it out with very expensive cinemas and all the rest of it, just allocating enough space, and then also in terms of back of house, storage, etc. I think that just enabling the building to be flexible, to evolve with how we evolve, I think that was one of the key themes that I picked out.
Yeah, we also heard an interesting strategy, I think, from Cortland, some friends who are big investors in the States, with a potential scheme that they're looking at, not designing or providing amenity that they think is right, but actually going down the strategy of holding sessions for local tenants, potential tenants, and asking them what they want, and therefore designing or thinking about providing amenities that are appropriate for that particular area and that particular potential occupier. I think certainly our for sale developers have been doing that for years in this country, but it's not necessarily something that the new build-to-rent developers have really seized upon.
Sure.
That's something which has been coming into the market more very recently, the for sale developers looking to switch some of their stock to rental or PRS. Is it convertible? Can these sort of large scale blocks be switched around and be made more amenable to PRS amenity standards?
They can, but I think you have to be aware of how efficiently you can manage it over the longer term. So we have seen a lot of activity where for sale blocks are switching to for rent, and also a lot of the build to rent stock has come through office to resi conversion. So it's been opportunistic really at the moment, because that's all we can do. But I think that there'll be quite a meaningful shift towards doing proper bespoke build to rent product, because you can just manage it much more efficiently over the longer term, and that has a real impact on your returns. And I think if anything, it's easier to take a build-to-rent scheme and then make it for sale than it is the other way around. And I think that has sort of been accepted now in the industry. I think it took a long time to get there, but I think we're nearly there now.
Yeah, and certainly from an investor perspective, it's quite a nice, slightly easier way to deploy sizable amounts of capital into the sector. buying up from developers and retrofitting for sale schemes to rental. A few example deals we've seen recently where incoming investors such as Greystar have been able to spend 140 odd million in a very short space of time over three developments. So while the long-term efficiency of the building and growth of the rent might not necessarily be in line with specifically designed for rental, it's a good easy way in for people looking to kind of seize on early opportunity, early advantage.
Yeah. Well, we can look at deals that have emerged today, like Grainger buying up in Manchester. That was a converted ex-residential block.
Yeah.
Pete, you're representing the cash, so what would they rather buy?
Well, I think just picking up on these two points, the big thing that came out of the conference is that build-to-rent is just not one type of rental product. And that, going back to your question there, Alex, of can you convert existing? Does that have to have lots of amenity? I think the market needs all of it. So, you know, if you look at the residential market, you can get very distracted by super prime residential and everything that goes into that. But that is a very small part of the overall open market sale market. Equally, for build to rent, there is a very broad range of amenity that needs to be provided. So that, to answer your question about what does the money want, For Arthur's point, it's about scale and pace. Everybody wants to have 5,000 units, 10,000 units, 20,000 units, and there just aren't that amount of kit to buy at the moment. So they're having to be very careful what they buy. They don't want to make mistakes of buying the wrong thing that will affect their long-term returns in 3 to 5 years. So getting control, investors getting at the very early end, one of the reasons why development and resi capital markets work so closely at CBRE is because it's all about the land. So we've got to actually create this stuff, you've got to build this stuff before it then can be traded. And so for Alex's point, for Arthur's point again about where is this market going to go, investors want liquidity. They want to be able to buy something today. They know it's going to be the right product when it's built in 2 or 3 years' time. It's going to have a very strong first rental, but then multiple rentals thereafter. It can stabilise and then they can exit. And if they can exit, they can fund it. If they can fund it, they can buy the asset at the first end. So we think the market is going to go through this quantum change. And if it is £150 billion worth of stock that's traded every year in the States, we are monitoring £30 billion of money looking at the sector here. There's £2.5 billion trade this year. That ratio is completely out of kilter. So it's almost a 10 to 1 ratio of money looking at stock. Investors need to be footloose. They need to look at all different types of assets. So, and I'm probably going to get kicked by the research team for this, but you know, my view is that we will be 1/10 of the American model in the next 3 to 5 years. So it could be that the build to rent, PRS, multifamily, whatever we end up sort of defining it as, is going to be a £10 to £15 billion market of trading stocks when you get to that point of being able to move it on. And if you put that in context of the total commercial stock in the UK, which is £60 billion, you know, that little prediction is that we're going to be a quarter of, or just slightly less than a quarter, a fifth of all invested stock could be residential in the next 3 to 5 years. So first move advantage, we are seeing a lot of money coming from America. You know, they have less concerns around the belief in the product when it's built, but more challenges around getting the thing built in the first time. So investors from the States, what do they want to do? They want to get partnerships with local developers, and they know so they can influence and help and support so they get the right stock to have that liquidity in the future.
As the housing market slows down a bit in the UK, and more blocks or more house builders are looking to de-risk, do you think we could see a more existing stock, or stock at least of planning, be switched over onto a build-to-rent side, converted and switched over into these new funds trying to enter that do have cash at the moment?
Yeah. And again, I think it's there are certain house builders I'm sure will never do it because they are cash rich and they are sort of true to what their shareholders want. But other developers who, you know, have fantastic, you know, the big thing about this sector is who can build it, how quickly can you build it, how cheaply can you build it. The best people with that access to construction and the best supply chain is the house building sector. So you're seeing the likes of Telford and Barratt working with developers to deliver stock as a sort of quasi development manager. You know, they can convert the stock what they've got, they can deliver it on a cheap basis. So we can see a lot of that partnership going on. And there is obviously, where they haven't started, they can start to think about changing some of the multi-phase scheme. They can start to sell on or forward commit, de-lever, take stock off their books. When we had Nick Simkin talking, and he was the former CEO of BeLiving, the big thing he was talking about is, you know, a lot of developers look at a site for a use. So they'll buy a site for build to rent, they'll buy a site for a hotel, they'll buy a site for open market sale. The way they looked at it was, we buy the site and then we decide what is the best use for that site. So as a quasi house builder, they also became a build to rent developer. For them, classically, we talk about it all the time, but there is a case study of, I've got a piece of land, I'm going to build a commercial residential block for sale and the block for rental at the same time. And they did that at Aberfeldy, and they both went up at the same time, so immediately they created that sense of space. On the outside, they look incredibly the same. On the inside, they look incredibly different. So it's to Helen's point before, you know, you can just convert this stuff. You can just take a for sale product and just say, well, let's make it rental. As long as you have the basics are that you need to be able to give that quality of management and the security for the tenant that, you know, if something breaks, somebody will fix it. If there's a problem, security is going to be sorted. All the other stuff, the amenity, I mean, the thing we are seeing from the States is, in a mature market, to differentiate between two tower blocks right next to each other in downtown Boston, you have to get into that slight amenity war. So again, we mustn't get too distracted by having this great big amenity race because we haven't quite got to the point where we're competing so much.
No, we're quite way off there. And I think you're right on your point earlier that it's going to be a much more sophisticated market than just doing more bigger, shinier amenities and getting into that race. I think there are so many different price points, so many different demographic groups to cater for. And also on the point of developers or house builders looking to switch some of their parcels to build to rent, it's also highlighting the fact that they're taking advantage of an opportunity that's always been there. There's always been demand for rental, and if you look at the rate of household formation in the private rented sector, it's rapid compared with owner-occupier. So actually they're catering for this market that hasn't been catered for before. It's just the investment market's opening up to facilitate that, so it's quite a positive for the private rented sector as a whole, I would say.
In addition to that, we've seen a lot of investors pairing up with developers, as Pete mentioned, but actually I think moving forward we may even see a lot of developers realigning their business plan. I don't think we'll see it with the house builders, but certainly with some developers, Wilmot Dixon being one of them, becoming much more of an investment business, rather than delivering on behalf of an investor, actually delivering for themselves and changing and shifting the profile of their income to annualise.
How do you see housing associations slotting into this sort of new model? Because they're speaking of additionality and taking very large teams and delivering four different models at once. Housing associations are going to be some big players now, especially in London, with the likes of Thames Mead and MQ. are you working with them? Are they speaking much to the private sector? Are they looking to speak to a lot of this cash coming in from America, for instance? Work with any of that?
I think the short answer is, you know, what housing associations have is a lot of stock. They are also cash rich, and they are very much focused on creating income to subsidise their other uses and their other functions. So, you know, it is a massive part of the market in terms of, you know, we are trying to get the exact number, but it could be somewhere between £250 and £300 billion worth of capital held up within that sector. And they are very much looking at build to rent as a means to fulfil most of their obligations under their charters. Now, again, it goes back to the point of when you talk about build to rent, there is a spectrum of build to rent from discount market rental all the way through to open market rental. And I think, you know, as a sector, they are going to be a dominant force, almost as dominant maybe as they are in the open market sector. You know, they are a very large producer of units for sale. They will be a very large producer of units for rental. The advantage they have is clearly they are used to renting because of their heritage. And, you know, there might be some nuances about what that looks like, what that feels like, but the bones of what they do is what you need to do to run and secure and maintain a residential block.
Mm. And some of them do exceptionally well and have been doing it, and they're strong in the market. But there's a real range between the ones who do it well and the ones who don't do it at all. They certainly have hurdles to overcome, fiscal not necessarily being one of them, but yeah, as Pete alludes to, kind of a cultural one from a management perspective. Managing a market tenant is different to managing an affordable housing tenant.
Mm-hmm. Okay, most important question then, and final question. What should it be called in the UK? We've been saying build to rent a lot, I always say PRS, not multi-family, I'm assuming.
No, so I mean the simple answer.
This is pending as well, obviously.
Well, the simple answer is it will be called PRS, but you've got to build it, so you've got to call it build to rent for now.
Yeah. Sticking with build to rent.
Build to rent, right? Fine. Thanks, chaps.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks, Alex.